Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Evelyn Walker, Anne, Catherine Pigliacelli, Aaron Peril, Debbie Franjdakis, Ordained Crowney, Becky Vola, Mercipan, Rosa, Knifecat, Friska Said Gay Rights, East Five, Psyker, Sydney Engelstein, Melanie Johnston, Amanda Overmeyer, Darcy Morgan, Marapia F. Jarkoff, Coviscus Inc., Icon 315. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Welcome to episode 138 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today for another exciting adventure I have...
Ben Meredith.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
And Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Zulf Smith.
Hamid Salahurin Altahan.
Sol Sidebottom.
And Azu.
Minor retcon, I am now renaming Zulf Lightning Boy. Because that's what he likes to ride, the lightning.
Sad Sea Dad becomes Happy Lightning Dad.
What I love is the fact that you're like, Poseidon, I hate you, you're rubbish. Typhoon, lightning, go. Go, go on. Now's your chance.
Zeus, mate.
It's true. It's very true. You know what? That's on me. I quite like the idea that you're annoying both of them.
Yes,
they are brothers.
Although there is something fun about, smite me, oh mighty smiter, boom! Smite me better, oh mighty smiter. So, you guys are still atop a lighthouse. Hammond has killed every innocent person within about 4 miles. And Zulf has...
And some innocent non-people.
Zulf has managed to take some lightning bolts away from a lightning rod super effectively. You've all managed to just gooify an ooze back from whence it came. And now you're all just kind of chilling at the top of a lighthouse. I'm going to say you've closed the door so that you can at least hear one another.
Okay.
Right, so...
What happened downstairs?
Eh? There was a group of people coming up to attack us.
Right.
And they're...
And now they're all
they're
dead?
Gone. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's, I suppose was going to... That's...
There could have been a different approach on that, I feel.
What?
You could have come and told us, maybe, or something.
And just let them all attack us?
Not attack us, but the kobolds seem very harmless.
I agree, but they were being directed to attack us by some
Hamid,
humans.
From your perspective, every single person there had some kind of syringe spear. Both the humans and the kobolds.
Yeah.
So you didn't say that before.
No, I didn't.
No, I didn't.
Like,
but then Sel asked, were they armed?
And I said yes.
Well, if they were intent to kill, then that's unpleasant, but that's what we're here and that's what we're going to do. I mean,
why, you're like, the little buddies downstairs, they were not bad people. First, this guy, he attacks my village, he attacks the nearby ones, and now he's getting all of these people to do stuff that they clearly don't really understand or want to do. I am going to destroy him!
He has to pay for turning these kobolds into violent people. Like, I wish there had been a better way to deal with it, but they were armed and ready to come and attack us. They were being directed actively by people standing next to them. Like, there's nothing else I could do.
While Hammond is beginning to, like, babble on, and this, like, Sel goes over and, like, sits down and offers a hug.
Hammond hugs you!
Aww. It's all right, little guy.
There's a lot of Sel to go around. You. Big arms.
Gangly arms.
As he says, all right, Hammond.
You can probably tell Hammond is quite upset. that he did this, but he did.
Azu is also upset that you did this.
Yeah.
Desperate times, desperate measures.
Everyone give me a perception check.
16.
Natural 1.
That 23! Mm. I so rarely get to do anything.
Hamid, you hear more movement from downstairs.
Got 16. I didn't hear nothing.
Can everyone else hear that? I think there might be something more downstairs.
Mechanically, no.
I'm going to go and look. As he goes and looks.
Okay. Are you trying to be stealthy? I have to ask certain questions. I will continue to ask certain questions. Do not presume that I am not aware of how stupid the questions are.
I'm wearing metal shoes on a metal grate.
No. No, don't do yourself a disservice. You're wearing glowing metal shoes on a metal grate.
I'm not trying to be stealthy, no. I'm just going to like poke my head through the trapdoor first, just to see.
Poking your head down the trapdoor, you see nothing.
Then I go the rest of the way down.
Okay, heading down the ladder and starting climbing down. Give me a perception check.
It's not going to be as good as the other one. Oh, that's 22.
Cool. You see them at the exact same time they see you, which is you see a small couple of kobolds stood amongst the remnants of their friends, and they go, "There they are!" And then they flee.
Okay, Azu calls up, "All right, there are more kobolds down here. I'm going to follow them."
We shouldn't stick together. I mean,
right, let's go.
If they know we're here now.
All right, let's go.
Azu chases.
I really think it would be helpful to collapse this roof.
How?
I was going to ask Sel.
But, like, this glass isn't real glass. This is something pretty big. But we'll get that.
Knowledge engineering. Whew, that's good. That is 27.
I mean, the answer may be we cannot do it with the tools available.
Yes.
But
yeah, the glass is super thick.
Cell does not have any bombs left.
The glass is not the issue. It's literally collapsing the centre of the roof in the middle of the room.
So you have a bit of a situation here, which is you reckon that, yeah, using the tools available, you could destroy this. All you need to do is scoop up all of that ooze, smear it over key structural points, maybe take a quick analysis of the load-bearing ratios of the room. Ideally, maybe have like 2 to 3 days to really dig into the problem. But yeah, you reckon you could demolish it with only the things that you've got to hand, but it will take you about 2 days, and it's mostly relying on the ooze.
I think the acid might weaken some of the structural integrity, but it will take a while to do. Like, if you guys can buy me a couple of, let's say about 72 hours, it might take to work.
Not practical.
We've destroyed the individual components. Yes, yep. I'd like to knock this whole thing down, but
let's go. We'll follow Azu.
It would be pretty cool explosion.
We can always come back.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Do you all head down the stairs?
Yes. Yeah.
So, you all head down the stairs. You're trying to be stealthy as a group.
No, we're behind Azu, who's going first and is the least stealthy.
Also, they know we're here.
The time for stealth has passed.
It passed when we blew out the windows.
I'm so happy with you guys.
The kobolds have raised the alarm.
The biggest, baddest dungeon that I've made, and your solution has been, could just blow all of it up.
I mean, we successfully infiltrated stealthily.
Yeah.
So.
But we haven't done what we want to do, which is find any, like, information, like, tangible evidence
and
stuff.
It's that Road to El Dorado meme where it's like, destroy everything, kill everyone. Both is good.
I mean, also, to be fair, what we've done is turned off their power supply, probably destroyed the weather changing machine, probably destroyed the remote control for the big kraken in the water.
Yeah.
Not that we know this, but that's what, you know,
well, that's
Ben
what I've
reckons.
Been assuming, yeah, assuming.
There's nothing that I enjoy more, though, than when Ben goes really far out on a limb and is wrong.
By limb, do you mean metal tentacle?
I really do. It's still a limb. Yeah, you're heading down the stairs, and the first thing that comes to everyone's eye is the massacre. To your eye, Hamid, it looks like maybe some of them aren't where you're like, oh yeah, the ones that were up here might have been trying to collect a couple of people. Like, there's cobbled everywhere. It's going to take ages to get the stains out. That's the real takeaway here.
Hamid goes a bit green.
I'm a check over.
Yeah, vomit. Vomit, Hamid.
I don't do that anymore, Helen.
But you do massacre instead.
I'm not going to require a heal check. The three humans are dead. They clearly got fireball.
Wasn't.
Are you searching them for stuff?
Yes. Okay, I'm quickly packing them down. I'm not taking a huge amount of time, but
that's fine.
Sel's going to steer Hamid straight past. So if Solve sticks around, and they're going to be techno babbling hard. Like, so I like
it
your
may
idea.
Require you to physically pick Hamid up because there are kobolds across the whole, like 20 in 10-foot space. They were 3 deep in height.
Okay, yeah.
Like, you are going to physically have to pick him up if he's not going to engage with
this. You just made it worse, Alex. You're enjoying this too much.
Well, then, yes. Well, Sel's going to, like, enthusiastic. So, can you show me your crossbow?
It's not a very good one. It's mostly as a backup.
So as they're walking past this thing, like,
Hammond's intensely, very happy to talk to you.
Intensely focused. Well, like, so this one, I've been modding it, and, like,
it looked great. So, how did you get it to fire electricity?
I am going to be now adjusting. So things that the guards are carrying.
Yeah.
You notice that all 3 of them are carrying some kind of metal punch card. Like, it's a piece of metal with holes punched in it.
Same holes?
Yes.
Looks techie. So I shall show it to
Oh, guys, we got the key card item.
Yeah.
Now we can open doors.
I mean, they should have spread themselves out. One of them's red, one of them's blue, one of them's green. Green?
Green.
Yeah, you heard.
The new card.
No, they're all just featureless metal. They are, they're literally on lanyards. So they're on, like, metal chains that you have, you can't snap the chain. You are literally having to pull it off. In other terms, you find things like, some of them have like a couple of small pouches of gold, like it matches like
really
10,
but
I don't know. Photo of their children.
By the way, Sel recognizes 2 of them for a start as people who have been causing trouble back on the island. They are all carrying as well various bottles of things. Clearly labelled as well.
Okay, I'm going to pick up the bottles and the punch cards to give to Sel once I catch up with them again.
That's fine. I'm just going to read out what the bottles were for the sake of ease. But
they
do
say they are.
They have labels on them, to be clear. One of them says antidote. One of them says water breathing.
Ooh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
One of them says water walk.
Ooh.
Handy.
And is this per human?
Yes.
So it's 3 of each?
Yes.
Oh, right.
Very interesting.
So they've all got a little kit.
One of them just called Mega Juice. And one of them's called Runaway. There's one other thing to be aware of, Zolf, where, because you're taking the time and everyone else is occupied, you do notice that all of these weapons were loaded.
Sure.
But you're also aware from the last one you saw, it'd take a little while to get the stuff out from each of them, but hypothetically possible.
I'm not going to do that. But once I've got their stuff, take another last look around the room, go, grim business, and then go and follow.
You do notice that all of these kobolds are slightly differently equipped than the ones you've seen before. They are neither kind of scrappily equipped the way that the one around the kitchens was, and they're not scientist equipped. These ones seem to have like barbs on their, how do I put it, the equivalent of a knuckle duster for your tail. Like a little barb for the tail.
They're kitted for fighting.
Yeah, they are, and they have rudimentary armor as well.
Sure.
But like literally we're talking fantasy classic of breastplate, no other clothing.
Nice.
Like Winnie the Pooh.
Yes. Armoured poos are what you're encountering.
Brilliant. So, guys, I'll run after and go.
You will make it past.
Got these things. Hand over the punch cards. No idea, but they look techie. That each guard had one of them.
All right. Well, probably that'll be the key card that then we'll be able to open stuff with.
Right. Okay. Well.
Or maybe it's a.
Give me a knowledge
program.
Engineering. I'm getting you. Getting the use out of this one.
Mm. Yeah.
There's a reason that they recruited you for this specific job.
30.
30. Mm. Good news, bad news. Mm. Yeah. You see that they're all the same. So realistically, they're all going to open the same doors. Mm. Good thing. Bad thing is you just killed power. If you have actually killed all of the power. All the doors are most likely, if they've got key cards, probably built to lock automatically without power.
Well,
that's a fire hazard. Yeah. Any good electronic door opens when power goes out.
But that's not wrong.
Not in a villainous lair.
Yeah, I don't think he'd really.
And not if they're fireproof.
They don't open, but they are held unlocked.
We may have to try. This suggests that the whole place is powered and smart, and we've just turned off.
Azu, specifically, give me a perception check, because Sel is busy thinking, Zolf is busy handing stuff over if he is.
Azu's still ahead of the rest of
and
us.
And Hamid is literally, unless I'm mistaken, keeping his eyes anywhere
else. He's keeping it together.
We're
past the bodies.
23.
So, at the bottom of the stairwell, entering into the room that was full of equipment and bunks, you see there's extra stuff in the doorway, metal stuff.
Okay. So they try to barricade us up there. I push my way. If I get down there?
You can, yeah. Do you try and push your way past?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to roll just to freak you out. So
it explodes!
You push your way past the beginnings of a barricade. To be clear, though, this isn't an improvised barricade. What they've got are prepped, like, quick thing. You know the, like, Normandy blockade things? Like, I forget what they're called.
The tank traps.
Yes, stuff like tank traps, where it's deliberately blocking ways and stuff, and you can just sort of unfold it on the quick.
The big crosses.
Oh, and Azu is a tank. Yeah, it makes sense.
The big jacks.
Yeah. So what they have done is filled that room with them, and they have also put in, like, what appear to be, like, riot shield barriers and stuff.
We're playing Rainbow Six Siege now.
There is no one in that room.
Then I clear away.
There's literally not, like, you will have to start deconstructing these things. They have brought them in and constructed them in this space. It's not like they just carried them in.
And there's no other way through other than to make them.
You can, I mean, you can literally just shunt some to the left, shunt some to the right.
You use the flat of your axe as a sweeping stick.
Yeah, I'll do something like that. I'll just
peek behind the curtain. This would have been a horrendous encounter if they weren't terrified of you all now.
Aww.
Yeah, you can trivially, like...
Yeah, kobolds popping up, shooting us over riot shields.
Would have been whole thing. How are we going to deal with it? There's only one way down. Yeah, it would have been. But they would have had the barriers. They'd have had the barriers, Ben.
Don't think that's how fireball works. It engulfs the area.
I have another thing.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, you can clear the space. It'll take a little while, but, like, we're talking, like, not long.
While right.
By
doing,
the time it takes
I am
catch
big
up.
And a little angry, so...
While Az is doing that, I'm going to be like, oh, I found their potions as well. I kind of know what these are, but I don't know what this is. Mega juice.
Sniffs the mega juice and gets a 20 not natural on...
So, in order to test poisons, you do have to taste them. So you give me the roll... But to be clear, because of the type of alchemist you are, you can't just taste it and go, oh, yeah, that would kill you. Because you'd find out by dying.
I gave up some of my immunities in order to get extra spikes.
So I'm going to give you the secret.
Can I ask if these vials are shaped to be drunk?
Oh, these vials were made for drinking, and that's just what they'll do. And one of these days, these vials are just going to kill you.
So they're not made for the
glug,
injection
glug,
spears.
Glug, glug, glug,
they have, for a start, they have corks. Like, they are basically test tubes.
Yeah.
For your choice, Lydia, you can either taste the thing and know what it does, or not. The way it works, though, to be clear, is you're tasting the thing, so you haven't, destroyed the potion. You're not
just
necking
it. Yeah, I'm going to taste it.
Okay, cool.
Gonna taste it.
The following briefly happens to you in such a way that I can just describe it, and it's already gone, because you are literally dipping your finger and going... Kind of like a dog.
Like Fraser in Due South.
So, you suddenly feel... Hedge as like veins bulging out on the neck, like suddenly really, really bloodshot. And then you feel really tired. You feel rubbish. However, over the course of the next couple of minutes, you're like...
Oh, like, that one very much does what it says on the label. Like, that is... that will make it mega. Like, there's a juice that makes you mega.
Right. All right, well...
Not sure of the specifics... But I don't think it doesn't seem to last very long. Or, I mean, obviously it would if you took it more, but so I would trust the other labels as well.
All right. Like, well, then have some of these.
So you hand over one guard set of stuff to sell.
Yep.
As an extra thing while you're handing things over that are apparent to everyone, these labels were probably written by the bruisers who were carrying them. Like, this isn't typed, this isn't a florid script, this is someone holding a quill, like, in a fist and going, sticking their tongue out whilst writing style.
I also give a water walk and water breathing to Azu.
Okay.
This is wise.
More in metal. And a mega juice.
Yeah.
Because that would be hilarious.
Oh my god. Surely I have to take my armour off. Because it'll crush me if I get
magic armor.
Magic armor expands to keep with you.
All right,
mundane
then.
Mundane stuff will just get ripped.
Also, you might just get really angry and not physically bigger.
You didn't see Cell grow. I never said that.
Just hench.
I take them, but I don't drink them, obviously.
Damn it, I really thought you were saying I take them all right now. Yes!
So,
gotta punch the water.
Anything else that you're wanting to do?
Nah, I don't need to hand any to Hammett, I don't think, because I don't specifically need them, and I can hand these out because I'm the one who's going to be, like, fending people off and not doing anything.
Azu has cleared a path through the room of caltrops and shields.
Yep. You guys have all distributed your stuff out pretty evenly and sensibly. So, yeah, you managed to clear space through there, and you can see down into the seemingly empty tech room that you came in from across the roof.
Yeah, presumably these people released the scientists we had tied up.
There's no one in there.
Right, so...
Oh, the scientists weren't among the 20 that were up top, just to be clear.
Oh, thank God.
So, two options. We either go back out across the roof and down that into the mansion house again, get down that way, or we try and find a more direct route, like straight down from this lighthouse.
Mm. Is there any clear stairway going down from where we are now? Okay.
You could have gone down, or you could have gone up when you came in. You've done up. You went as up as you could, and then a little bit more where I thought you couldn't. That's how far up you've gone.
Let's up went surprisingly well. Now that I didn't have faith in you guys, just, you know, that was impressive. So how about we try down now?
Like, right, just
flip it over.
Bear in mind, they're going to be prepared.
Straight down here, but they'll be ready for us. We'll be ready for them.
Everyone give me a perception check, please.
30.
14.
28.
So, everyone can see in the corner of this room up at the top, as you're having a chat, you all just hear sort of like a... And you see there is something in the corner of the room. Specifically, it's like a brass disc with what appears to be an actual human eye in the middle of it, looking at you all.
I don't think that's a friend.
How tall is this room?
You could jump and touch the ceiling easily.
That's some sort of scrying thing.
Shall I
get rid of it?
Get out?
Yeah.
I cast magic missile.
Okay. It just strikes unerringly, doesn't it?
Yep.
What's the minimum damage from the four?
Each missile does a minimum of 2 damage.
Yeah, it just pops. Like, it just explodes into a combination of eye goo and clockwork and bits.
Gross. We'll keep an eye out for those then.
Yeah.
Ooh. Shall we go downstairs?
Right, let's go. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, you head downstairs. And the first thing that happens when you head downstairs is you encounter a sort of storage-esque... You remember they had the lift with the storage levels? You find a similar situation. You have a freight elevator, which is at this floor, and then you see a squared stair this time, heading down almost apparently exactly the same as the way up here. Just
rinse and repeat.
Here.
Right. Mm-hmm. But let's screw them up as well. Duck into the elevator, hit the bottom floor... Get out of the elevator, close the door so the elevator goes away.
Yeah. Nothing happens.
Oh, yeah, we could turn the power off, didn't we?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that was a nice idea. But
if they restore the power, the elevator will...
Guess we get a warning.
Yeah.
Ray! Hi. Turns out I'm still clever. Let's go.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. I was going to say I could drop a bomb down there, but I'm kind of out for the day. Oh, it's been a busy day.
It has.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Everyone give me perception checks.
20.
28.
24.
Again, 28.
You, as you're sort of having your discussions, pretty much all of you say there are two more of these eye things. One is sort of above the lift that Zolf sees, and another one is as high up and in a corner as it can from a different angle, and they're all just staring.
Okay. Tell Hammond to blow it up.
I cast massive magic missile 2 more times.
How many times can you do that?
Not very many more.
You have to declare the targets at start. It is hypothetically possible for you to only kill one of them, so I have to ask how you're allocating, and then you'll have to roll for this one. How do I put it? If all attack one, I know it's dead. If you split them, it is hypothetically possible for survival to happen.
So I cast magic missile twice.
Pop.
Yeah, I guess I could have done it more efficiently and tried to...
It's fine. Pop. They're gone.
Yeah.
They're gone. So you head downstairs?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you start heading downstairs. Very quickly... It becomes apparent to you that this bit is less abandoned or has been less abandoned than the other bit. It is a stairwell in far better state. It has active freight storage, like crates, same as before. All of the doors appear to be closed this time round, and it starts getting dark very quickly. One floor down, you can still see by dim light. Two floors down, and you're starting to reach the point where the only people who can see have dark vision.
Mm-hmm. What are we doing this time? Staying in the dark?
Nope, people know we're coming.
All Give right, me a perception better. Check, everyone.
Better if you and Sel can see.
I cast Dancing Lights.
24.
Are you casting Dancing Lights?
Yes.
Then I'm just going to give this for free at this point. Right. As you reach the second floor down, you see another one of these things looking. This one is near sort of foot level, near where the stairwell is.
Oh, wait. I'll just smash it with my glaive. I realise I could probably have reached all of those and we not spent spells, but hey-ho.
Technically, give me an attack roll for this one.
Yep.
Because it's not striking unerringly.
I do it again.
It immediately starts to scuttle away up the wall.
Ooh!
It looks like it's just a fixed disc that's fixed the wall, and then it suddenly, quick, legs crawl up, and it scuttles up the wall really quickly.
Can I get another in? Got a 10-foot reach.
Yes, because you have 10-foot reach, I'll allow it. I'm being generous.
Oh, that was almost a 20.
shoot it. Probably enough. One sec. No.
I mean, given they're small and fast, they 18. Might be quite high.
18.
Quite
you managed to hit it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Cool.
What's so the minimum damage that you can deal?
8.
Yeah, pops and explodes.
Okay, right. They run away. Weird. But now we know. Don't miss first time.
If we could catch one of them, maybe.
If you want to try.
And I'll take a break there.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Okay, so back in from the break. Heading down into the dark, obviously with dancing lights though. That's fine. So you go down one...
And leaving them ahead of us so it's not like lighting us up.
That's fine. I'm going to do a couple of checks. Okay.
You might want to put them behind us because that will dazzle anyone coming at us and we won't be dazzled by
no,
them.
No, mostly silhouette us though.
Yeah. I mean, up to you, but I think they should be behind us so that we're not looking into the lights and people are.
So if they're behind it, yeah, they'll be able to see exactly where we are because they'll be behind us, like lighting up our, like he said, like silhouettes.
Yeah, they're not right in front.
You're having this conversation as you go down, by the way.
Yeah, sure, fine.
So you head down another couple of floors. Without dancing lights, it would be pitch black. Everyone give me a perception check now, please.
Oh, dear.
I got a natural 20.
I got a natural 1.
I got a natural 1.
Oh, I just got a box standard 21.
Okay, cool. Sel,
yes.
As you're heading down, you all walk past a floor.
Mm.
Like, you know, another of those freight landings. Mm. Paying no attention. Sel, you notice as you're going down that this is the first door that's been ajar. They've all been steel doors all the way down and closed and seemingly locked. This is the first one that you've seen that is slightly ajar.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else has missed it. Just, you know, it wasn't a big thing to look. You just fluked on that door's open.
Hey, guys, I think there may be someone in there. I'm just going to go. That door's open, so okay. I'm just curious. Okay.
Rush him. Rush him.
Yep. Okay, I'll just go do that.
And pushes the door open.
So, you slam the door open, and you find yourself basically stood in the doorway to a room, shocker.
Yeah.
A tiled room. Mm-hmm. Specifically, think like blank kitchen tiles, maybe medical tiles, something mm-hmm. similar. So white, mm-hmm. pristine. It is a seemingly sort of cuboid room that is roughly 20 feet to a side.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle, mm-hmm. there appears to be some kind of tripod with a... The best way I can describe it is imagine a sort of light bulb and then cover that itself in, like, how do I put it? Comedic old-timey speakers. Big brass. Wah, wah, wah,
okay.
Wah. Okay. As you open the door, nothing happens.
Hey.
And then...
Ooh.
Suddenly, like, you open it, it's just like, oh, cool, it's fine. And in that time delay, suddenly an incredibly loud, like, physically... painfully loud and alarm starts ringing from it. It isn't like a re re re. It's just boom, just a solid heavy tone of sound. Everyone, please give me a fort save.
Oh dear.
Can we use
can
your
I
fort?
Use, can
I
use fort?
Yeah, you may.
That fort is rubbish.
I love that you all know it's there. Like, Zolf, Zolf, help.
That's
Zolf.
What I tell people because I don't know what's on their sheets. It's your fort save is now 10.
So I don't think we spelled this out on audio, have we?
I have a clerical ability, a domain ability called Unity, which is when a spell or effect hits allies in 30 foot, each ally can use my save instead of theirs, so they can choose to retain
real
their own.
Real good ability.
Yeah.
Real good
I get that
ability.
Once a day. So I'm using it now, so everyone can use my fort save. Yeah. Not that Azu needs it.
Yeah, but I just rolled a 2, so...
Ooh. Can't change the roll, unfortunately.
No.
Woo, woo.
22.
25.
12.
21.
Oh, no.
As it stands...
Thanks, Zolf.
Thank you, Zolf.
All of you, immediately, whether you want to or not... hands on ears. It is incredibly loud. Like, you can feel it shaking bits of you. Azu, you don't manage in time, and it literally stuns you.
Oh.
Like, you feel something pop, and all you have is... And you are dropped immediately to one knee. It is like someone has just got a hammer and is just hitting your head in its helmet. It is the loudest thing you have ever heard. In addition to that, Sel, who is stood in the doorway.
Yeah.
Before you can respond.
Yeah.
Okay. A load of spikes shoot out from the actual doorway itself into the space that you're occupying.
Mm-hmm. Do I get a reflex save?
No. But they have to do attack on you. Because spikes work like that. Yeah, I know. It's a thing.
That's the wrong way round.
It's a pathfinder traps work.
Yeah, weird. Certain traps, like spike traps specifically, they have to roll an attack to hit you. Arrow traps and spike traps, it's like... It's attacking you to deal with whether you get out of it.
I guess it's because it could hit your armour and they want to be able to factor in AC.
That's literally it. That's all it is. What's your AC?
19.
Lucky, lucky. Okay, so only two of them hit. Very lucky. 16 damage total.
Doesn't feel that lucky.
So there is a
thunk,
and two of them just jab. Two of them miss.
Ow! That is not nice! That no one hears, obviously.
Everyone roll initiative, please.
Oh, no.
Yes, finally. 20.
Turns out if you have enough encounters, you'll get 20 eventually.
5.
14.
Zolf, you are up first. The noise is still going on.
Armor bull rush the siren.
Okay.
Yes, good.
Boop, boop.
Actually, so a question. I could bull rush it or I could just charge it and attack it. I get a higher bonus, but does it look like the kind of thing that being bull rush would be a useful thing to do with? Or
what should I just... It looks like something you want to break. It isn't a delicate thing that looks like it's going to shatter. It just looks like it's going to be loud and on the floor.
I'll charge it.
That's fine.
23.
Yeah, hit. Cool. Roll the damage. Don't roll low when you could.
Glaive is on fire.
Of course it is. What are you, an animal?
16 damage.
You just smash the thing into 1,000 bits.
Cool. Ah! Oh. Ow!
Well, that was interesting. I really wonder why would you...
Azu's still on one knee.
So immediately investigates the thing in bulk.
You can't. You're still in initiative order.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Hamid, you're up. I'm sure everything's fine.
A alarm went off. Oh dear.
Hamid begins walking over to Azu, starts the sentence, "Are you okay?"
Aww. That's fine. To be clear, in the room, the tiled room, there was another door at the far end.
Yeah.
I didn't describe it, but I also was like, it would be a real weird design if it didn't have a door. That's on me. Mm. But yeah, there is a closed steel door on the far side.
Cool. Yeah, Hammer thinks the threat's gone, so he's... Yeah.
That's fine.
...not acting as if this was still combat time.
Sure.
At which point, from the stairs below you, is, for everyone apart from Azu, the sound, from what you can make out, of large amounts of running feet. At which point... A squad of kobold make their way up the stairs. They are all equipped for a fight, and they all basically run up the stairs. And who is closest to the stairs down? I'll let you guys pick. Obviously, Zolf is in the tiled room. Sel is in the doorway. Hamid went over to Azu, so both Azu and Hamid.
Hamid or Azu.
I let you pick. I don't mind.
The stairs are behind us, right? And the doorway into the tiled room is in front of us.
Yes.
Hamid is closest to the stairs.
Okay, cool. It's all the same to me. Six run up. And all six of them immediately charge Hamid. They are able to close the distance and get an attack in each.
Okay.
Okay? I need to know what your AC is.
22.
Oh, yeah, still wearing the mage armor.
Last 8 hours.
Oh, lovely.
Or a year and a half.
Whichever is easier. Yeah.
Whichever ends first.
Yeah.
12 garbage?
Yeah, okay.
They're built to be garbage, it's fine.
That's why there's a load of them.
All six of them and immediately begun stabbing. Armor. Every single one hits mage armor, without exception. At the same time, the door on the far side of the tiled room opens, and it just seems to be a wall of blackness. that slops into the room. Yep.
More ooze.
Does it come within 2 squares of me?
It provokes an attack of opportunity from Zolf.
Right, so that is 8 words and things. 24.
That's a hit.
Ooh, that's actually kind of grim. 23 damage.
Okay, cool.
With fire. So 6 of that is fire. Sorry, that might be relevant.
Okay. You slash through the thing. It turns into 2.
Oh, no!
All is well.
Rumbled.
At which point, both of them attack Zolf.
What? Didn't they just get an initiative? They just entered the room.
They entered the room. They took an attack of opportunity.
No, got the attack of opportunity as they were rushing.
I confused myself. Sorry.
Are they smaller or are they the same size?
Remind me, Racy. They are smaller than they were before.
Okay. 17.
It seems to be the same amount of ooze split between 2 places.
17.
17?
I would say, why did I use up all my bombs? But I know exactly why I used them.
Because you needed to.
Because the system was. The encounters were designed to use up all my bombs.
Yep.
Yeah, he was so happy when you said you were running out of bombs.
Dealing 10 normal damage.
Yep.
5 acid damage.
Yep.
And what's your combat maneuver defense?
20.
One of them misses. Second one reaches out, hits, deals damage. You feel the telltale sting of some more acid. It clearly is kind of trying to grab you and can't gain a purchase. I'll say that a small amount of charred leather comes off in its hand.
Yeah.
If only you hadn't been struck by lightning so many times, it would have had a better chance against you.
My coat!
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
At which point, it is Cell's turn. Stood in the doorway, you have seen all this pan out.
You can stab twice.
Cobbles from behind and thing from the other half.
I'm going to shoot 4 arrows at the kobolds.
One per kobold?
One per kobold.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Give me attack roll number 1.
15.
15 is a hit.
Well, that's 15 plus 8, so I assume it's a hit.
Another hit.
Oof, natural 1.
Miss! Obviously.
And 13 plus 3, which is 16.
Another hit. You have to roll because it's hypothetically possible they could survive.
Yeah, the first one is 7.
Dead.
Second one, 9.
Dead.
Third one was the natural 1. So I don't know what. Do you want me to shoot and hit?
Third one then.
Okay. The fourth one is 12.
Dead.
Cool. Now there are 3 kobolds.
Alex doesn't seem to want the natural one to potentially hit Hamid,
yeah,
who's in combat with these kobolds.
That's what
different approach to your normal.
I genuinely expected that.
Yeah. But... I mean, come on, the number of times I've hit other party members, it's only fair one of them hits me.
There's something more fun I can do.
Oh, no!
It's hit me!
My beautiful sparky weapon!
I rolled a 17, it happened!
Oh no, what?
Well, none of you had given me active perception checks during a combat round, so who knows what happened.
What?
At which point, then, do you move at all? You're currently stood in the doorway with, like...
No.
Cool.
No, I don't think I can... Well, there's no, like, cover, is there, really? Because there's something on each
side. You'd have to pick a side and get cover from the other side.
Yeah, like, that's the thing.
In which case, then, Azu, you are up.
Okay, so I'm...
Make your choices.
3 kobolds.
There are 3 kobolds, so it's like, more around me.
Around me.
Oh, they're around you. Okay, I attacked them. Like, if it was around me, it would be different.
Kobold the first attack.
Ready, got Cleave.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume, by the way, unless you tell me otherwise, that you just walk up to cleave them all, because you can.
Okay. Is it possible to, like, non-lethally...
Yes. You can non-lethally cleave. You'll be doing so, I believe, with a -2 penalty to hit.
What does that mean?
It means that you are 2 less likely to hit them. So if you rolled a 15, you'd actually roll a 30.
You deal non-lethal damage, which means that when they hit 0...
They're just unconscious.
My first roll was 18.
Hit. I'll let you pick retroactively whether it's non-lethal or not. I don't mind. It's all the same to me.
I think that she's going to be going for non-lethal.
That's
because A, she doesn't want to be a hypocrite, and B, she just saw a lot of bodies.
But mostly the hypocrite thing, right?
Yeah.
That's probably not don't want to kill.
Look, that turns the 18 into a 16, which is still a
hit.
Look, the second rule of being an Aphrodite priestess is do not harm more than necessary.
It's fine. Knock them unconscious. You
know. Okay.
It's 2d12.
Oops.
You still got your feet.
I believe it's already unconscious if you're rolling for the damage.
That's 20.
26, you still get
26.
Your bonus.
It explodes. You hit it with the flat of the blade. Boom,
oh, no,
and trying to be gentle.
And you leave
didn't work.
It limbs behind.
Oh.
It tumbles down the gap in the stairwell.
Now,
as a warning to the others.
One important thing, remember, with gods, they care about the intent.
It's true.
So Aphrodite's probably like, it's cool.
You tried, that's
I'm
what matters.
I'm pretty certain that the phrase goes, the road to Aphrodite is paved in good intentions.
And dead kobolds.
And dead.
But the road.
Dead kobolds.
The road to Aphrodite is paved with creatine.
It's true. It's very true.
All right, it's rock hard abs.
Cleave attack on the next one.
I hit the next one.
I found a new way to harm the party, which is just throw murder at you, whether you want it or not. You are leaving this place bloody.
To be fair, I do still have Tertius, so it's probably just that she was just like, oh! Okay, next one.
We just had a manslaughter.
16.
Yeah! Sorry, that was like one of the only crimes we haven't had, and now we've had it. Yay!
So
yay.
14 if you're still going for non-lethal.
14? Yeah. Oh. So this kobold manages to duck. They'll never catch me. Seems real eager. Like, real eager.
Punt it. Can you just kick it? With your I was going to say, can I just... It's so small.
I mean, technically,
can
that's just, your action.
Can I just kick?
Nope.
All right.
Just ignore it.
Oh, go away! Doing the rest of their campaign, just ignoring its effects.
The distressing thing is, with the combination of the paladin and the cleric in your potions of healing, you could walk through quite a significant chunk of this just going, we'll take it. It's okay, we'll take it. It's fine. We'll take it. I'm taking it. It's fine.
And there's one kobold on each leg.
Just Wolverine every encounter. God, right, Zolf, you're up.
Cool. I shall take a 5-foot step backwards. Don't broke and tackle the tree.
It's true, you don't.
Do I still have my move action?
No, you're basically spending your entire move action to do 5 foot safely.
Yeah, that's fine. Cool. Then I cast prayer.
Describe prayer, because I don't think it's come up before.
Nice. So there's no saving throw, but you can resist it if you have spell resistance.
Okay.
Basically, I start muttering under my breath, and although the words remain unintelligible, it starts to echo in an aura around me.
Mm-hmm.
And all of my allies feel heartened by it, and all of my enemies are terrified by it. Whatever the message is one of encouragement to allies and
lovely.
One of threats and intimidation to my enemies.
Oh, nice.
So it's sort of interpreted on a personal level.
Does that mean I get my bombs back?
No. What it does mean is all of my allies get +1 to attacks, saving throws, skill checks. Basically, anytime you're going to roll dice, except maybe damage. I need to show that.
It will not include damage.
Yeah, it's usually not. We'll get +1, and all of my enemies get -1 for those things.
Cool. It is all of your jobs to keep track of that, not mine. I'll keep track of mine,
so
bad guys.
Incredible. It's damage. So you get a +1 luck bonus on attack rolls, weapon damage rolls, saves, and skill checks, while each of your foes take -1 penalty.
Wow.
It lasts for 8 rounds.
Wow. Okay, that's fair. Hamid, you're up.
My hands pop into claws. I swipe at one of the kobolds. I very much only attack one of them. If the first attack kills it, I'm not taking a second
attack. I need to know. Do you attack the one that's like, nah, I'll kill you all?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
8. I take the second attack. Much better. 22.
Are you going for non-lethal?
No.
Yeah, it's a hit.
Plus ones.
Oh, I wasn't. So that was actually 9 and 23.
Cool. You get +1 to this damage as well.
4 normal damage and 4 fire damage because my claw explodes with fiery energy as it hits.
I don't think that's happened before, has it?
It has not happened before.
Hey. Oh, my. Hey, Sparky! I like
and
a little
you
guy.
Speak draconic, don't you?
Yeah. I make eye contact with the one remaining kobold with my fiery dragon claws out, and in draconic say, do not come after us.
The one remaining one takes a moment and then drops to its knees, drops its spear, and you hear in muffled draconic, my leash.
Now we have an alternative way to deal with kobolds.
Yeah.
My hands turn back to normal and I smile beautifully.
Oh, no.
I think I might end the episode there, honestly.
This is genuinely quite worrying.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is actually... This is something that James would do.
Yeah, this is where Hamid goes Bertie.
No!
Yes. Yes.
Try to be a good person, but the call of power has pulled him.
Guys. It's going to happen or not. It hasn't happened yet. We don't know which way it's going to go.
Mm. You do.
He's got good friends around him with good morals.
Yeah, your job. But he mostly finds them annoying.
Remember,
an army of poison wielding scientists.
The way to stop someone going to the dark side is through love.
Or surrounding them with an army of poison scientists.
No, it's through love, and it's going to happen.
No, it's not. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by April Sumner. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord via the website or on Reddit at r/RustyQuill. Thanks for listening.
Of how efficient you guys are at killing. Like,
I feel like proud is probably the wrong word.
No,
proud is.
I mean,
right
in game
word.
Terms, we're very successful.
Yeah, you are.
True.
Narratively, but mechanically.
In an edit, I need to check for Azu.
Your head explodes.
I just pass out.
Head explode.
Oh.
It's all right. If you pass out, I can then put the aura out again, and you'll get back up. You are one of those.
I'd like to resent how helpful you are.
Yeah.
I used to be the helpful one.
You're so helpful. You have so much healing.
You're right to be annoyed. Okay, I'm going to come back in.
This is not where I thought the tension would emerge.
Yeah.
Are we all good?
I'm the holy warrior of this group.
Hello, all. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu from Rusty Quill Gaming, and the host and director of Enthusiasm. Today, I'm here to tell you about The Programme. The Programme audio series is a science fiction anthology podcast set in a world where money, state, and God are fused into a single entity. Every episode is a standalone story featuring ordinary people inhabiting this extraordinary world. And for them, it's not the future that is terrifying, but our present. The Programme is sometimes funny, sometimes poignant, but it is always smart. Find out more about The Programme at www.rustyquill.com or www.programmeaudioseries.com or search for The Programme Audio Series wherever you listen to your podcasts. Have fun and enjoy the episode.